Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. On June 5th, South Dakotans head to the polls to vote in the statewide primary election. Chantel Krebs wants your vote to be the Republican candidate for U.S. House. Krebs grew up as a fourth-generation farm kid near Arlington in Kingsbury County. She graduated with a business degree from Dakota State University. She served as a legislator in the State House and Senate. Her current role is as South Dakota Secretary of State, and she is married to Mitt Krebs. She joins us now on the phone to talk about her campaign. Chantel Krebs, welcome back to In the Moment.
Well, thank you for having me, Lori. Good morning.
Good morning. I think it's always important to start with qualifications. You have a long resume here. What are you focusing on when you talk to South Dakotans about why you are qualified to do the work that needs to be done in Washington?
You know, before I even get into the goals or issues or qualifications, I just want to share a little bit about my background. I really want to make sure that our South Dakota voters know who I am and really makes up what decisions, my decision-making process, and why I'm going to run for Congress and why I am running. So if you would allow me, Lori, let me share a little bit about my background.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thanks, Lori. I am a fourth-generation farm kid, as you said. I grew up on a family farm. Mom, she did the books and ran the farm. And, of course, Dad did, too. But he also had a trucking company, and he hauled livestock and grain. And so just, you know, a great agricultural environment that I grew up around. I went on, and I owned my own businesses. And I had two small retail stores in downtown Sioux Falls on Phillips Avenue. And that was early on when really Phillips Avenue was growing and expanding and developing. And so I felt like we were a pioneer. A lot of us down there were pioneers in the development of the downtown Sioux Falls environment that it is today. So I'm pretty proud of that fact to be a part of that growth with my two small retail businesses that I had. You know, and while I was running my retail businesses, like you said, Lori, I served in the South Dakota legislature as a citizen legislator. And when I was a business owner and had my shoe store and clothing store, that's really where I interacted with the Secretary of State's office. And I saw some of the delays and encountered some of the challenges that were having issues in the office of the Secretary of State, where there was delay in filings and business delays and the annual reports weren't getting posted and returned in a timely manner. And that's when I decided to run for the Secretary of State's office. And I took on my own party to do so. And that was in 2015. And, Lori, a lot of folks can probably recall that when I walked into the Secretary of State's office, we walked into a mess. And for the last 3 years, we've essentially been holding government accountable in a fashion where this office needs to run like a business versus running at the speed of government. And essentially in the last 3 years, we've delivered on everything that I said and I campaigned on as Secretary of State. Because some of the things that we encountered were sincere delays, extreme delays in business filings. They were over 6 weeks behind. Bank lien filings were over 8 weeks behind. Concealed carry permits weren't getting issued out the door. Now everything's in real time, up to date, and the website is easy accessible. So information is available to the public in real time. And we're real proud of my team. I brought back some experience and that institutional knowledge. And, you know, I always say a good leader surrounds herself with even better people. And that's why our office has had the success of now operating and running at the speed of business versus the speed of government. And especially because we interact with business every day, we have to be in real time. So we're real proud of our accomplishments here in the Secretary of State's office. So essentially, when you asked me the qualifications, Lori, that really, these are all those experiences that I just mentioned in life in general of why I am running for Congress. And so I tell you, go ahead.
You mentioned one more on your website that I find particularly delightful, and that's that you say you're a farm kid, a waitress, a small business owner, and Secretary of State. Let's throw in that waitress. What did you learn as a waitress in small town South Dakota?
Oh, Lori, thank you for asking. I have such fond memories, and I hope for those that are still listening in Arlington, South Dakota, hello. The City Cafe put me through college, my tip money. You know, I started waitressing in the seventh grade up there, and of course, a coffee and pancakes was 95 cents with taxes $1. And if I got a 50-cent tip, I was like, this is so awesome. And when the hunters would come to town, this is the best part. So when out-of-state hunters would come in and order steak and eggs on a Saturday morning, and they'd leave a $2 tip, I thought I had just won the jackpot. So I think really developed my communication skills and just listening and hearing people talk around the coffee about issues of the day, whether what's going on in the city or the government and their frustrations. And that really essentially made me interested in the process too, just hearing gentlemen talk around the coffee table at the back table. And again, like I said, that tip money put me through college. I was the first one in my family to attend college and essentially paid for it with some scholarship money and my waitressing tip money. So I put myself through college on those two things. I'm pretty proud of that.
Let's talk about some of the things that we've seen coming out of Washington just in the past year during President Trump's administration, for example, and certainly some of this is building on, you know, from before he came, but the Affordable Care Act debate and tax reform. As you look at some of those conversations in Washington and imagine yourself, you know, being elected and going to serve South Dakota in Congress, what needs to happen next in those areas, in the areas of tax reform, for example? A good start, I'm guessing, that you would think, and then what happens next?
Sure. Well, like I said, a real reason why I'm running for Congress is because of President Trump's results so far. And we can reflect on them, whether it be, like we said, the tax reform or tax cuts. And I can just share with you, even my employees in this office, you know, the average state employee makes around $35,000 to $39,000. And they even commented on their paycheck this week of seeing a $25 or $40 more in their paycheck. And to them, I mean, that's real dollars, and the employees notice that and recognize that it could be $50 to $100 more per month in their paycheck. So the tax reform, what he's done is the first time in how many years we've had real reform, and I think a bigger part of that, too, is just the results about deregulation with all of his agencies. And when we talk about the EPA in South Dakota continues to push down burdens on our South Dakota ranchers and producers. I mean, for example, CERCLA. I mean, thank goodness the president's saying, let's delay these implementation of these rules that are almost impossible for our livestock producers to have to report how much manure is in a pit. I mean, these are unreasonable expectations, and they don't have any guidelines that are clearly stated. So deregulation is another aspect that needs to continue to happen. And like you said, just the economy. Last night I was at the Go Red for Women's American Heart Association event. And at my table, all the women at this table were commenting on their 401ks and the growth in the economy and how their 401ks. And again, these are all results that President Trump has delivered. And the reason I'm running is I want to continue to help President Trump deliver more results. And that's exactly what we're talking about, is what we shared just now.
Are you concerned about the deficit that, you know, is increasing with federal tax reform?
Absolutely. When you ask about what are the issues and my goals, that would be my first priority, is cutting spending. When we talk about it, interestingly, I don't feel that Congress is having that conversation as strong as they should. They talked about tax reform and tax cuts. However, the other side of that conversation is cutting spending and controlling the deficit. The tax reform, to me, shouldn't have been just deficit neutral, revenue neutral. It should have been deficit neutral. And so one of my main issues and reasons that I'm running and want to accomplish in Congress is to cut spending, holding the federal government accountable. And I really believe that this is the first time in my life that the federal government is actually going to be held more accountable and more responsive to the citizens of South Dakota because of what President Trump has initiated and rolling back some of the regulations that have been imposed upon our ranchers and farmers and our businesses. So first priority, cutting spending, that you ask the question. And that could be in just the form of reform, whether it be programs that need to be reformed and made them more efficient. It's examples that I use in my office and how I've made my office more efficient and more responsive, accountable, is reforming the way we've done things here. You hear about the challenges with paperwork being processed in federal government and environmental impact statements getting held up for 6 years. Why is this process taking so long? We need to ask those questions, and I want to ask those questions as your next congresswoman. Why is the department holding up these processes and businesses to try to develop or grow?
There has been, as we watch the race in South Dakota shape up now, there has been a lot of rhetoric early on about Muslims in America, American Muslims, about immigration, about religious freedom. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to clarify your thoughts on this topic as it sort of started to unfold in the state, within the state.
Sure, Lori. Well, for me, there is no immigration reform on the federal level until we secure our borders. That means funding the wall and building the wall.
Did you want to go on beyond that or just start with the wall and no conversation?
Sure,
I'm trying to understand. So no conversation other than the infrastructure, you know, finance this thing, build it, and then we can talk about other things. Is that what you're saying? Do I understand?
Absolutely. Yes. And I apologize. I thought it cut out there. I do apologize, Laura.
Oh, it's okay. What does it take to move forward on that? Because it seems like a pretty contentious topic in Washington. Not everybody agrees that it's affordable. And are you talking about a physical wall, or when we have this conversation again, the rhetoric goes back and forth, and in some areas where some people are just talking about increased border security along the U.S.-Mexico border. Some people are talking about, no, it is a concrete wall and it needs to look like this. Where do you stand on that?
Absolutely, Lori. For me, securing our borders means building a physical wall, but also support in dollars, not only for a physical wall, but for agents or virtual border agents and the support as well in that area. You know, we know Trump is a deal maker. I mean, that's his strength as a business person. And so we know that Congress has their hands full in the next couple months. They have to take action on this. And I see that happening because that's his strength. And that Congress, I hear a lot of frustration from South Dakotans across the state to say, you know, we want somebody to go to D.C. that's going to work together to create reform, but also working across the aisle. And that's what I think President Trump's best asset is working together to create and getting something done. People want to see results. And for once, I think they feel like things are happening. And, President Trump is doing just that.
So in favor of securing the U.S.-Mexico border through building the wall, working on those negotiations, now let's switch to the broader conversation about immigration and my question about religious freedom. Any clarity, that you wanted to provide on that topic and how you approach it?
Sure. Well, our founding fathers fought on the basis of our country is for the religious, the freedom of religion. And so that's very clear is how we as our founding fathers and the Constitution has interpreted is that, freedom of religion is what is our founding fathers and the basis for our country.
And that includes Muslims?
Freedom of religion, but of any religion.
All right. How do you see the race in South Dakota shaping up?
I'm excited to really start talking a lot more about issues and all the issues. And again, when I'm traveling across the state, whether it be at the Heart Association event last night, the women at the table were just, discussing about taxes and how it's affecting their paychecks. They were talking about the growth in the economy. We hear a lot about workforce development needs. So those are areas that I know we need to focus on in Congress. And I think one of the areas that President Trump has done a great job is apprenticeship programs. We've never had a president talk about apprenticeship programs before. And actually, there are so many businessmen and women and the contractors you hear from construction and contractors that say we need workers. We need to train them on the job. What can we do to help that? And they are appreciative of the Department of Labor's grant to help with our contractors across the state to implement apprenticeship programs. And those are just some of the things that I'm hearing. That's what I heard last night and yesterday here in Pierre with the contractors. You go West Irving, you talk to your Stock Growers Association and our ranchers, and they're frustrated with electronic logging devices and the challenges that a truck driver has to now respond with an electronic device and report to the federal government and delay livestock being delivered. And, of course, that's a concern about how we're humanely treating these animals that we're hauling. And I'm very passionate about that issue. My father, for how many years, since 1964, he's 77 years old, and he hauls cattle for a living. This type of regulation is exactly why I'm running. Federal government and bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., deciding how a small businessman, such as my father, needs to run his business for how many years he's been safe and effective for hauling cattle for all these years. And now all of a sudden they're telling us in Washington, D.C. that he has to put an electronic device and change the way he's been doing it with the paper logbooks for how many years. This is why I'm running is because Washington, D.C. has got to listen to our small businessmen and women and how they are impacted by bureaucrats making decisions without even understanding the issue as a whole. So that when you ask about issues, those are the things that I'm hearing from across South Dakota is, you know, the EPA requiring our livestock producers to report how much manure is in a pit and, you know, the delayed implementation of that. So these are all examples of how I'm the only one in this race that has an agricultural background, that has a grasp of how the hard, cold reality, we are in a farm crisis. This economy is really a challenge for our farmers and ranchers in South Dakota. It's our number one industry.
Can you, do you mind elaborating on that, how much manure is stored in a pit? You know, because you say it, if I don't have an agricultural background, I'm like, what? What exactly is the federal government asking for, and why are they asking for it?
Yeah, so obviously for water runoff and safety of the manure collection sites and feedlots, the EPA now is going to start asking, how are you handling it? How are you disposing of it? What are you doing with it? How much of it is there? And so all the reporting, and it's interesting, the EPA doesn't even have a really good form. They haven't even created the form. So they're saying you need to start doing this, but USDA hasn't even come up with a form. It's a perfect example where there's no guidance from our federal government. They're telling us that they have to do this, but our farmers and ranchers and our producers and our feedlot folks don't even know what to do with it. So again, I'm using this as an example of how government just puts a regulation in without congressional oversight. And an agency just imposes a new regulation, and we don't have congressional oversight, which is actually one of my second points that I want to go to Washington, D.C. for, is to talk about how we can control the rulemaking authority that these agencies or the presidents have, is that there has got to be some type of congressional oversight on any new rule that's implemented from an agency. Like how we do it in South Dakota in the legislature. When I was in the legislature, if there was any department that had a new rule, it had to be promulgated in statute, but also approved by a rulemaking committee so that the legislators could approve that without an agency just imposing something upon our business folks and our citizens of South Dakota. So that's a great example of another reason why I want to change the process and the rulemaking authority in Congress, that there is congressional oversight and authority.
If you were elected and represented South Dakota in Congress, you know, what are your goals as far as, you know, serving on the Agriculture Committee? What are you looking for once you get there that you think is going to provide the most impact on state residents?
Absolutely. My first choice will be to represent and be on the Agricultural Committee. Again, I'm the only one in this race, the only candidate that has an agricultural background. I was proud to be the Senate Ag Chairwoman in the Senate when I served in the legislature. And this is an important year. This year, the farm bill is expiring. And so we need to reauthorize a new farm bill. And my focus will be on that farm bill. I don't know if it'll get passed this year, even though it's up and it's going to be expiring. That's a tough vote, too. There's a lot of components. It's a $1 trillion farm bill. And 80% of that farm bill is welfare reform or welfare assistance. And so, but the primary focus for me in our agricultural environment here is that we need to have the components taken care of, such as a farm safety net for our producers. We've got to make sure that the livestock indemnity program has good language in there. I feel that there should be flexibility in the conservation and CRP programs, soil health reporting. Those are all components that need to be included and reformed and updated in the new farm bill when I hopefully be in Congress and hopefully voting on it in 2019.
Let's close with national defense. Also on your website, you mentioned the need for increased national defense. Why?
A focus in the last administration hasn't been the effort of putting money forth with national defense. And just the other day, we had our veterans here in Pierre. And when you talk about national defense, I think we all know that national security is a conversation that I hear everywhere. It's interesting, like I shared with you, some of the agriculture concerns that I'm hearing, but one of the other areas that I get asked about is where do you stand on national defense and security? I think citizens of South Dakota and across America, they're concerned about security. And of course, ISIS and the attacks that we've seen across the world, that President Trump has made a concerted effort to put extra funding in those areas. And we have a high number of veterans in South Dakota. Per capita, I think there's over 75,000 veterans. And we need to put our emphasis in making sure that we're taking care of our veterans here in South Dakota after they have served. But not only that, is putting the money and the resources for those that are currently serving in the armed forces.
Do you feel it's more of a, and as if I'm asking this kind of as a former vet or as a veteran, is it a philosophy that, you know, veterans and American citizens need to see the government, you know, talking about this and doing certain things? Or is there an actual problem that you think needs to be solved with how things are funded? Like, you know, fund what? Mm-hmm. Increase what? What do we need more of? Or is it just we need to be talking about it? We need to be, you know, putting our energy there?
I think that's a good question, Lori. And there's two parts to that, is that when we say funding, especially specifically updating equipment and resources, I mean, we have Ellsworth Air Force Base here in South Dakota, and we need to make sure that the drones or whatever it may be that they need for equipment is updated and have the resources and the funding to pay for that, for parts or whatever it may be. But the second part of that, too, is our taking care of our veterans when they come back home. And we've seen the challenges in our veterans' hospitals and the performance of the care that's given, the wait times, the lack of accountability and the measures there. And there's made some improvement, but there are still a long ways to go. And Secretary Shulkin is something that we need to continue reminding them. We have a veterans' hospital right here in South Dakota in Hot Springs that, you know, they've talked about closing. And we got to fight for that to stay and remain open, because we have such a high number of per capita in the state of veterans in the South Dakota. And so when you talk about, there's two parts to that conversation, I think, in national defense, is funding appropriately for their equipment and resources and what they need on the ground. But then there's also taking care of our veterans when they come home.
Chantel Krebs, you want to leave us with a website or something where people can find out more about your campaign?
I would love to just close with saying, you know, another priority is, of course, our South Dakota values. I want to share with you a saying that my mom and dad taught me when I grew up. They sat me down at a young age and say, listen here, young lady, this is how we live our life. You're going to get up early and you're going to work hard. You're going to do your chores and you're going to mind your own business. You're going to go to bed, say your prayers, and you're going to get up and do it all over again. And that's really how I make my decisions every day. And South Dakotans, they're rugged and they're independent. And that's how I'm going to represent South Dakota in Washington, D.C. as your next congresswoman. And I look forward to that opportunity.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Lori.